You're listening to the Sunday Messages podcast, brought to you by Cypress Creek Church.
About 10 years ago, when that flood hit Wimberley, I was on the worship team, and I hit the bridge early in the morning. It was still dark out. Cell phones were out. If you were here, you remember. And I didn't think anything of it because nobody was looking for me at 6 a.m. But when I arrived at the bridge and I saw the trees over it, I realized two things. One, that I wasn't going to make it to church. But two, that something terrible had happened. In the next few days, weeks, months, what was a tragedy, what we got to see as a church family was God do miracles in the midst of tragedy. I had conversations with people in our parking lot once they parked their big F-350s loaded up with all the supplies, and HEB dropped a freezer truck with a lot of food and free t-shirts for all. I got to have a conversation with a mom and dad from Houston, and I asked them, why did you come? And they said, well, we actually just lost our teenage son in a tragic car accident. And so then I asked them again, why did you come? And they said, because we know what God can do through tragedy. We've seen the hand of God comfort those that need it most. We were those people. We want to share it now with others. Many of you know the story of a dad who lost his wife and two young children in that flood 10 years ago. He seemed to have lost it all, but he did not lose his faith. And today, Jonathan McComb is in those floodwaters searching for those that need rescue. That is the power of our faith. It moves us. When we sense the heaviness, we can be sad. We can cry. We can mourn with those who mourn, as Paul writes in Romans 12. And we can also hold that intention with rejoicing with those who rejoice. This morning, you may feel that tension. You may feel a bit of that ping pong match, but my prayer is that you would leave here knowing that our faith can be made sight when we anchor our hope in Christ. We can see amazing things when we hold true to the fundamentals of our faith, that Jesus came, he died, he rose again, and he will come back. And when he comes back, there will be no more floods. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrow. We will be with him forever. That is going to be a good day. Until then, we have work to do. We are called to mobilize. We're going to talk about three things this morning: pray, move, and praise. Pray, move, and praise. Weeks ago, when I started this series on Songs of Ascent, I knew, I just had a sense that God was asking me to preach on Psalm 124. Well, Psalm 124 is a powerful psalm. It's a psalm of David. David is crying out to God in victory because he was not swallowed up by the enemy. He saw God's goodness in a time of trouble. In the context of that, perhaps, was what happened to him in 2 Samuel chapter 5, where David was surrounded by trouble. Maybe today the trouble is what surrounds our community. You feel that weight. If you're a mom and dad, grandparent, you just sense that despair that many are sensing after losing their little ones, after sending them off to camp. Or you know people personally that are still waiting to hear back from the whereabouts of their loved ones. And maybe you're here with your own storm. You're walking through your own trial. Wherever you are, wherever trouble may be in your life, again today I hope that we leave here knowing that God is here. He is near. We already talked about that Psalm 34:18, that God is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. For David, he was in trouble. The Philistines were all around him. The Philistines had heard that David was anointed king a second time after Saul was no longer king. David was anointed king, and so they came to attack him. But you know what the first thing that David did? It wasn't what Saul did and say, all right, here we go. Let's just beat the enemy with our own strength. The first thing that David did was pray. He inquired of the Lord. Let's turn there in 2 Samuel 5. It says, now the Philistine had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord. David prayed. That's the first thing. I'm going to read this passage, and then we're going to go straight into a moment of corporate prayer. We don't do this often as a church family, but it is appropriate to pray in this time together. We pray at homes, we pray in the car, we pray in our quiet times with God, and we can pray corporately here in the assembled time once a week. David prayed to the Lord, and he asked, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Shall I go and confront this trouble? He asked him, will you deliver them into my hands? And the Lord answered him, go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands. 2 weeks ago, we read Psalm 120, where we learned this verse, that in our distress, I call to the Lord, and he answered me. Every time we call to the Lord, he is faithful to answer us, not in the way that we may hope for sometimes, but he answers none the less. And here, God answers David's prayer and says, go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands. And so verse 20, it says that David moved. He moved into action, went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated the Philistines. And then he did this third thing. He praised, and he said, as waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. David prayed, David moved, and David praised. That's what we're going to do this morning, and that's also what we can do anytime trouble is near. Pray, move, and praise. Sometimes prayer is not the first thing we go to. Sometimes we take matters into our own hands, but I want to pause right here. I want to invite our prayer pastor, Rhonda, and she's going to lead us in a time of prayer where we can, right where we are, silently lift up our prayers up to the Lord as his people, knowing that he is faithful and just to hear us.
Thank you, Jose. Yes, and I want to say, yes, I'm prayer pastor, but my prayers are no more or less powerful than yours. And so that's why we want to take time corporately to gather, to lift up our prayers to the Lord over this event that has transpired at the last several days and still going on. I want to say, so many of you, and there's a lot of you in this room that are maybe going through your own personal struggles, grief, sickness, whatever it is, and we see you and we acknowledge that, and I believe that it's very sweet to the Lord when we offer up prayers for others, even in the midst of our own suffering. And so your prayers are very sweet to him. And so let's move into just a few moments of prayer over the flooding. We're going to start with praying for the loss of life for the families that are reeling right now from these losses, from those that are still missing, that they're searching for. We're going to ask for miracles. And so I just want to invite you to take a few moments and just lift your prayer up to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us, and we now take a few moments to lift up all first responders, search teams, doctors, nurses, hospitals, Lord, as they're tending to the injured. Let's just lift all those up right now. Thank you, Lord. And last, we want to take a few moments to just encourage you to invite the Lord to speak to you about what your part is moving forward. And we're going to hear more from Pastor Jose today. But just give him permission to speak to you and guide you in what your part is moving forward. Yes, Lord, I thank you that you will call many to pray. You will call people to serve. You will call people to give. As we give you just that permission, you speak to us, and we are listening. And I close with from Isaiah, when the enemy shall come in like a pent-up flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And standard is another word for banner or flag. And in Exodus, Moses gives a name for the Lord of Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. And so, Lord, we lift you up as a banner over the hill country, Father, over the hill country, your lordship over all that have been impacted by the flood, Lord. We just thank you that you are moving, you are present, you are with us. We can sit in sorrow, but we can move forward with faith and hope because you are the burden bearer. It is not ours to carry. You call us to prayer. You call us to move, but you are the burden bearer. And so we give it all to you, and we thank you that you are going to move in mighty, mighty ways. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Rhonda. Tomorrow at 6 p.m. in this room, we'll have our first Monday night of prayer and worship. And so I want to invite you in this room, whether you want to continue to intercede and pray for those affected, or if you yourself need prayer. Let me tell you something. There is no there's not a more powerful person that I have done hospital visits with than your prayer pastor, Rhonda Patterson. When she walks into a room, when there is a need of any sort, the best sword is Rhonda by your side. And so if you are in need of someone to come alongside you in prayer, come tomorrow night. Allow yourself to be blanketed by prayer. Allow yourself to surrender your need and watch God meet you in a very significant way. We'll also have prayer available after this gathering. Prayer is underestimated. We can't see it, therefore we don't really understand the power of it. But prayer really is what links our faith with our hope. We can cry out to God no matter how we may be feeling or doing, and we can say, God, I am just in distress. I am in despair. Lord, I am afraid. And again, God's word says that he is faithful to answer us. He is faithful to show us where he is and how he wants us to move. It's this next thing that David does. David inquired of the Lord. He prayed. And then he obeyed, and he moved in. And God gave him the victory because he told him that he would do it. It wasn't David's strength that did it. He moved in the strength of God. And so as a church family, we also move. In times of trouble, we move in. When a neighbor has a need, you move in. When someone in your community group is going through something, we move in. We check in, send a text, a phone call. We show up at their door. We knock. We move in. And this is important too. We ask them, can I help? Is there anything that you need? And if they say we're good, what do? We move out of the way. And so as a church family, we're going to move in appropriately. And we're going to do what we know how to do. We know how to do flood relief. We've done it before. We know how to help with the recovery efforts. Right now, we've been asked to move away as Search and Rescue is doing their thing, but as a church, on Thursday, starting this Thursday through Sunday, we're going to send our first team into the Kerr County area. I was on the phone yesterday after much prayer, many conversations with a dear friend from Arms of Hope, Troy Robertson. He worshiped here when he and his family lived here. He's the CEO of Arms of Hope. And I asked him, hey, if we sent a team, could you provide cover for us and meals? And he said, come on. And so we have a place to stay. And on Thursday, our first team will roll out. We'll be there through Sunday. And we know this from our flood efforts 10 years ago, that early on, everybody shows up. But the longer things are drawn out, the thinner the help gets. And so what we want to be committed to, because we have relationships there on the ground, is we want to be committed to run this marathon alongside them. And so what we've done is on the ccc.guide, that's a website, get on it, and there's a flood relief button at the top, click it, and there are many ways that you can get involved. If you have that 350 truck with the trailer and the bobcat, if you have chainsaws, sharpen those saws. If your back can't hold a chainsaw anymore, I'll never forget somebody that's here this morning dropped off their chainsaw for me, and he says, I can't use it, but you can, and I did. And I felt very powerful with a chainsaw in my hand. That was the first time I'd ever held a chainsaw, true story. Now I'm pretty skilled, at least I think so. Let's mobilize. Let's move in and be the hands and feet. Again, if you can, and you feel that stirring in your heart as Rhonda opened us up to pray, and you feel like, man, I can't wait to help, sign up on that interest form to go on one of these. We can't take everybody, but we can take some. If you have special skills, if you have more chainsaw experience than me, you will get picked before I do. So we want those with heavy machinery things. We know that that's the biggest need. And again, we'll figure out the closer we get, but our call has been to move, to mobilize, to go. If you can't go, you can pray. Rhonda has put out a prayer list, a way that we can pray, so you can take that with you. You can pray that in your home daily as we continue to inquire of the Lord and ask him to help. Maybe you can't go, but you can give financially. Did you know that in 2015, this church family alone raised $500,000? $500,000 to help those in need. We built homes. We provided people with so many needs. This wasn't money that we gave to other organizations. This is money that we gave to people and families, because that is what the local church is all about. And so when you give, we will make sure that we give those funds to those on the ground through churches and other trusted organizations. Two that we worked with, that we will be working closely with, is Convoy of Hope, and the other is Convoy of Hope and Samaritan's Purse. Samaritan's Purse was in St. Marcus 10 years ago, but we've been with them in other tragedies, and so we will partner with them alongside our friends and churches there on the ground. So Cypress Creek Church, let's go. Let's move in. I told Troy that we are coming in numbers, so do not disappoint me, okay? I put us on the line. He said, y'all come, figure it out once we get there. And so we get to go. Here is our go. David moved in. God delivered the Philistines. In Romans chapter 12, Paul really teaches us how we are to go. In every circumstance, yes, during floods, but also when we ourselves are in a time of need. In Romans 12, Paul writes this, be devoted to one another in love. Be devoted to hug one another. Be devoted to show up for one another. He says, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeals. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And in verse 15, this tension. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. You guys, this is not easy to do, but it is beautiful when it is done with grace as God moves us in. I wonder if there's somebody in your life that would need this type of ministry this week. Maybe unrelated, but maybe this is prompting you to move into another tragedy that very few know about. Perhaps God is leading you to bless somebody that cannot bless you in return, who God may be asking you to be grace with. Another way that we can serve, I forgot to mention this part, is HEB gift cards. Boy, were those handy, literally. Handing HEB gift cards to all the people that we were around. If you want to purchase those, just drop it off at the tithe box and write how much money is there so we don't have to go through all the stuff to put the number amount and drop it off and know that it will be a blessing to many. And I also want to help moms and dads. Tomorrow, we're actually sending our students off to camp. We prayed through it. And we talked to the Camp Eagle staff. That's where we go to camp over in Rock Springs. They're far away from the affected area. They're on the Nueces River. Many of the leadership actually came through this church. And so we made sure that every safety measure is in place. All of the cabins are outside of the 100-year floodplain. And we feel like God is calling us to go ahead and go to camp. Johnny, our student pastor, has communicated with parents, and they know that if anything, if you prayed and you sense that you want to keep your child home, you know best how God wants you to lead your families. We'll work with you on that. My point is that we're making a decision by faith to go and allow these students to have a potentially life-changing experience with God. Can you pray for them this week as you think of them? Can you pray for students to experience the love and the reality of God in a powerful way this week? Yes, pray for their safety and pray for parents as well while kids are out at camp. And moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas, I also want to resource us with a way that we can move in and have difficult conversations with our children. Dr. Sean Stover walked us through these when we walked through the Uvalde tragedy years ago. These will be on the screen. It's 7 steps. I won't go through them all. But these 7 steps will guide you through how to have hard conversations with your children, because we want to move in to those that are closest to us. We want to meet them in an age-appropriate way and let them know of the reality of heaven and that in this world, Jesus said, we will have and therefore take, because he has overcome the world. These are opportunities for us to show our children that they can be anchored in the hope of Christ. That is move. And lastly, what did David do? It's very interesting. He prayed this prayer. He praised, and he said this in verse 20, as waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. He's speaking about a flood. And in Psalm 124, he's speaking about a flood. And I really thought hard on this. Is this something that we shouldn't talk about this Sunday? Or is this something, God, that you may want to remind us of? And I landed on the latter. Here's why. Because if we only look to God and the victory that he has claimed on our lives when times are good, it's going to be really hard for us to hold on to our faith when times are not good. And the truth is that the gospel is true and real in highs and in lows. Then in times of blessing, we can praise God and say that he is good. But also in times of great sorrow, we are called to praise God and say that he is good, even when we don't feel it. So if our faith is dependent on our circumstance, then when our circumstance aren't good, we will have a crisis of faith. And my hope as we read this psalm and close with praise is that we would be anchored in this truth that was then, is now, and forever will be true. Read with me David's Psalm 124, He's writing this as a result of the trouble that surrounded him. And he says this: "If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. If the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." David prayed and praised that, penned it, and then it's categorized as a song of ascent. Remember, these are songs that people worshiped with on their way to Jerusalem. So three times they went on holy days. It's where we get our word holiday. Three times a year, the people of God would gather in Jerusalem to remember what God had done. Passover, Pentecost, Festival of the Booths, Tabernacles. Remember what God did when the enemy surrounded them, when the Egyptians were about to overcome the Israelites. They were between them and the Red Sea. And remember that it was only by the hand of God that the seas were parted and the people were delivered. In Exodus chapter 14, 13, 14, this is what David wants us to remember when Moses answered the people: "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." What a word for us in time of need, that the Lord will fight for us. And then the hardest part: you need only to be still. You need only to understand that it's not by our power, it's not by our strength, it's not by our reason. We will never understand God's ways, but we will experience God's peace. By his power, he will deliver us. I love this "what if" that David says: if the Lord had not been on our side. Normally, when we talk about what if scenarios, what do we normally talk about? All the negatives. Well, we shoulda, woulda, coulda. Had we done this, then that wouldn't have occurred. If I would have just stopped them, if I would have acted earlier, if I would have just called them, if I would have not done that, then we wouldn't be where we are. Now, let me identify the three reasons why we experience pain this side of heaven, and then I'll close with Romans chapter 8. First reason is that we experience pain and suffering in this world because our world is broken. Ever since Adam and Eve fell, this world has been in a downward spiral where the enemy, who is looking to devour us, to implant fear in us, to tell us that there's no way out of hard times, this world is all that there will ever be. That is a lie. This world is evil and it is broken. The second is that we have been hurt by people. Hurt people hurt people. So we have wounds. We carry those from the moment that we're born into an imperfect family. Then we join imperfect churches, communities, and we are hurt. And the third is our own consequences, our own poor choices cause sin. That's sin done around us, sin done to us, sin done by us. All of this creates pain and suffering in the world. But if the Lord had not been on our side, that would have won. If the Lord had not been on our side, death would be final, once and for all. But God sent his one and only Son. And if Jesus would have never lived a perfect life, died the death that we deserved, and rose again, we would have no hope. But my friends, he came, he died, he rose again. And that same power that rose Jesus from the dead is resurrecting us right now. We can have hope in times of trouble. We can praise God for he is good. Romans 8 says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I don't want us to miss that imagery, that the Father and the Son are together, and together by the power of the Holy Spirit, the triune God, are giving us all that we need to thrive and to mourn, to rejoice and to weep as we navigate through life. I wonder how God may be leading you to respond. If you are not yet a follower of Christ, let me just invite you. This is what you're signing up for. You're signing up for this power that we can tap into that can give us hope. That trouble is not the absence. Trouble doesn't mean the absence of peace, but God's presence through trouble. And so if that's you, I would love to invite you to come forward, pray with someone. Say, I'm ready to surrender my life. They'll lead you in a prayer. And if you are going through a storm yourself and you need that extra support, please come forward, kneel, pray with someone. Let's respond and allow God to meet us before we leave this place. If you're willing and able, stand with me. We thank you, God, for the truth of the gospel, that we can be anchored in our hope. The faith is the assurance of what we cannot see, Lord. The assurance of what we hope for. Give us confidence. Thank you for being near to us. We respond to you and what you've done for us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday Messages podcast. You can dive deeper into the messages weekly by subscribing to the Conversations podcast, where we dig into the previous Sunday's message, unpacking how we can apply it further in our daily lives. See you again next week.